Hello, everybody, and welcome to the CCMP podcast. As always, I am your host, Carlson. And this week is the story of year 5 of the symposium. But first, let's head on into the men's room for the news. Alright, this story comes from BarstoolSports.com. And in Canada on Monday, a Canadian court legalized pimping and brothels in an attempt to make prostitution less dangerous. The decision came down from Ontario Court of Appeals and ruled that the previous ban on brothels puts prostitution at risk and was unconstitutional. The record is clear that the safest way to sell sex for a prostitute is to work indoors and in a location under her control, the judges said in their ruling. The judges said that eliminating street prostitution has allowed police to control drug trafficking and organized crime, and it has kept men and women from being subject to unwanted solicitation, they added. All right, this story is a science story. I believe I read somewhere where that this ended up being like an internet hoax, but I'm going to read it anyways. Staring at women's breasts is good for men's health and makes them live longer, in a new survey reveals. Researchers have discovered that a 10-minute ogle of women's breasts is as healthy as a half hour in the gym. 5-year study of 200 men found that those who enjoyed a long, lingering look at busty beauties had lower blood pressure, less heart disease, and lower pulse rates compared to those who did not get their daily eyeful. Dr. Karen Weatherby, who carried out the German study, wrote in a New England Journal of Medicine, "Just 2 minutes of staring at the charms of a well-endowed female is roughly equivalent to 30-minute aerobic workout. Sexual excitement gets the heart pumping and improves blood circulation. There is no question that gazing at breasts makes men healthier. Our study indicates that engaging in the activity a few minutes daily cuts the risk of stroke and heart attack in half. We believe that by doing so consistently, the average man can extend his life 4 to 5 years. All right, this next little story. Apparently, Tricky's probably going to agree with this and say that this is why I'm doing this, because I've been drinking. But the scientists for the U.S. Drug Administration suggested that men should take a look at their beer consumption, considering the results of a recent analysis that revealed the presence of female hormones in beer. The theory is that drinking beer makes men turn into women. To test the finding, 100 men were fed 8 pints of beer each. It was then observed that 100% of the men gained weight, talked excessively without making any sense, became overly emotional, couldn't drive, failed to think rationally, argued over nothing, and went to the bathroom excessively. No further testing is planned. And that's it for the news. All right, we're going to take a look back at the year that was 1999. And just a little bit of information, that's not from the Land of the Lost, Tricky. I'm not telling you where it came from, so just deal with it. All right, in 1999, movies released were Star Wars Episode I, The Sixth Sense, and The Blair Witch Project. TV shows that premiered that year were Family Guy and The Sopranos. In sports, in the Super Bowl, Denver won the Super Bowl. The World Series was won by the New York Yankees. The NBA was won by the San Antonio Spurs. In NCAA basketball, UConn won. And in the BCS, Florida State beat Virginia Tech. Just a little bit of information on that. Michael Vick was the quarterback of that Virginia Tech team, and Peter Warwick was a wide receiver for Florida State. So I guess you could say a lot of football teams have choked big leads away. Well, this one's for Jerry Tricky. Let's just put it that way. In this year, East Carolina had Hurricane Floyd hit the coast there. In the same week, the East Carolina Pirates, a school that Tricky worked for, I don't know if he was working for him at this time or not, faced the number 9 Miami Hurricanes, and they were down 23-3, but managed to score 24 unanswered points to win the game 27-23. So I figured I'd just throw that there in for Tricky, and that is the year that was 1999. Before I go into year 5, I want to bring up a point that Tricky claims that he does not recall, or is claiming that he came down later and did not go to this softball game that I mentioned. That's funny because I remember him being in the same vehicle with me on the way to the softball game. Now, I may have the year wrong, but I know that Tricky went to this softball game because he was in the same vehicle with me. Okay, with that, we will head into year 5. And as per usual, I will start with the road trip, which is also per usual, me, Boo, and Rich. This time we have Rush and Alan Douglas riding their motorcycles along with us on the way down. Rush has a pretty good sized bike. I don't know what it was, and I don't remember how big. I know it was a kind of a bigger bike, but it was a pretty good bike. And Alan had a small, like, Suzuki 250 or Kawasaki 250, like I know my bikes, so whatever. But it was a small bike. And at some point, the two switched bikes, and Rush rode Alan's bike down, in which was really kind of funny to watch because Rush riding this motorcycle looked like a kid on a guy trying to ride a mini bike. It was really small, and Rush is really big, and the bike just looked funny. And I guess Rush even talked about it the whole way down after they switched, which was kind of funny. And Rush claimed that he could feel like every bump in the road, and the bike vibrated all the way down. It was just a rough ride, he said. So we get to Tony's house, which is the same place it was at last year. And we get there, and the front porch is fixed, so we can now enter through the front door and walk on the front porch. There's also a screen door. So we get there, and we're waiting for everybody to get there, and we kind of start drinking and hanging out and having a good time. I know other people kind of started showing up as we were there. This year, we have some new members joining us. Ed Kuligowski, Slacker, Kevin Hale, and Chuck, or Paul. It was Chuck, actually, is what we call him, but it's Chuck Paul, Paul Chuck, whatever the hell you want to call him. It's just Chuck. I will refer to him as Chuck from now on. And the return of Dwin. Dwin has returned to us after a year away. He had moved out to California from Minnesota, and he has returned. So, as we're doing this, as we go through our normal stuff of everybody meeting and starting to talk and kind of just telling everybody what we had done through the previous year, we decide we're going to head down to the local bar again. And that's what we do. So we head down to the local bar. and we hang out there and we're playing pool and drinking and just playing. Some guys are playing pool and playing the Golden Tee game again. And as we're hanging out there, I know we decide after a while, well, we, for lack of a better term, we run into, all right, the town slut. I guess is the best way to put this. I don't mean to be rude, but that's what it turned out to be, is the town slut. Which brings me to the next phrase that has now been put out there, that I guess she came back to the house. I didn't have anything to do with her. I barely even talked to her. But it came to be known as that when she was around or whatever, certain people, Adam, would begin to yell, "whores on the porch," or "whores in the house," or "whores in the dining room," or "whores in the poker table," or whatnot. It's just "whores wherever." But "whores on the porch" is the term that was built. I seem to have forgotten something. This is also the year in which Dave Cleveland has now and should forever be known as Bitch. This is the weekend that he gained that moniker. Okay, the best way I can describe this, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that what he did was wrong. He just earned the moniker through this reason. Everybody shows up, and we find out that Dave is not coming. The reason Dave is not coming is because it turns out that he went to a Cubs baseball game with his future father-in-law. Now, at the time, he was not engaged to this woman. They were dating, and there was no plan of getting married as far as I know at this time. But he chose to go to the softball game with his girlfriend's dad. Not his fiance, not his soon-to-be wife, not his wife's, not his in-laws, his girlfriend's wife. So, of course, us guys being the guys that we are, we decided to say that he should now and forever be known as Bitch. Okay? That's how he got decided, and he's lived with it, and he doesn't really care. As a matter of fact, he's won the World Series of Poker once, so what's he care what we think? Now, let me tell you this. Dave Cleveland is probably the nicest guy in this group, and he would do just about anything for anybody in this group, but when you do something with this group, we're still going to ride you for it, so that's why he got the moniker Bitch. So, with that, we were hanging out that night, and of course, I believe at some point, just to irritate Boo, the Ron Jeremy as the Penguin was replaced, was put in just to irritate Boo, so the quack, 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 of course, started. Anyways, so we were hanging out that night, and I know that we were drinking and just having a good old time, and everybody was talking, and I know I went up and laid down for a little while. All right, now this year I know that a lot of guys every once in a while would fall asleep. Tony had a couch in the front room, and I know there were pictures taken of several of the guys sitting or sleeping on this couch, including me. I'm not sure where that picture's at. I know it's in one of the website things that we've done, but I'm not sure where it's at this moment. But anyways, I also know that there's a couple pictures of Rush sleeping on this couch. Now, whether that was this year or the previous year or the year after, I'm not sure. Anyway, so I know I went upstairs and lay down, and I know the horror was in the house at some point at this time. But I know I came back down, and after I'd laid upstairs for a little while, and I don't know if I fell asleep or passed out or whatever. But what it is I know we came down. I came downstairs, and I believe that there was a cash game being played at this time. And I know I don't want to hold back anything. So, all right, there's no way to put this other than just to come out and be blunt about it. There's a rule on the poster boards that has been there since year one. The rule states, and I believe it is Rule 11, that there are to be no live clothed women at the symposium. Now, I'm going to get busted by Tricky for saying symposium, but bite me. The symposium. And I know that several of the guys, or a couple of the guys, were trying to tell her this and tell her that the rule so that she had to remove her clothes if she was going to remain at the symposium. As far as I know, her clothes never came off, so that's all I really have to say about that. I just had to say it, and I didn't really want to hold anything back. It was just that. So we have this night, and after a while, I believe she ended up leaving or whatever, whatnot. But we were drinking, and I know we went to sleep. Well, the next morning, so I believe we didn't play golf this year. This is the first year that we played paintball. And for most of us, it's the first time any of us have played paintball. Now, Adam has played paintball before. He had his own gun. He had his own camouflage and everything. So, of course, we made fun of him for that, but simply because he had everything. And none of us had ever played paintball before. Actually, I was even a little leery. I didn't even really want to go play paintball that year just because I didn't know what it was. I don't want to play. Anyways, I need to kind of slow down here. I'm talking way too fast. But anyways, so we go and we play paintball. We head out, and it's a little place up by Moline. It's in the back roads up by Moline, and it's a nice little place. And I say nice lightly. I use the term very lightly. It's like a little backwoods. We called it the paintball with the Illinois militia. It was like, to be nice, it was run by a bunch of hillbillies. And so we went up there, and there was a little kid that was playing. I don't know how old he was. He might have been 12. But he kicked all of our asses for the most part playing paintball. Anyways, the other thing was that Dwin, while we were playing, a bunch of us got shot. I mean, it was kind of, I know we came back with a bunch of bruises. Again, none of us had hardly ever, a bunch of us were playing, wearing shorts. And it was just, it was kind of a funny picture to watch us play paintball for the first time. If anybody knows Dwin, Dwin is a pretty big guy. And the best way to describe this is that Dwin apparently was hiding behind a tree. And he kept like ducking out, kind of looking, and he was hiding behind this tree. The way it is described is that Dwin was hiding behind the Charlie Brown Christmas tree. I guess that's the best way to put it. That just imagine that. Charlie Brown hiding behind his own Christmas tree. That's kind of the way to describe it. So that'll give you a pretty good picture of what it looked like. Anyways. So, with that said, we played paintball for a while, and then we ended up heading back to Tony's house to play cards for the World Series of Poker. And we did that, and I know this was like that we had another new guy, I believe this was his first year, it might have been his second year, was Rodney. I know that we played 727 this year. Now, the rules for the game usually get explained when we have new people. We explain the rules fairly simple. All right. Before I get into that, this is the way the tournament kind of works. I don't think I've really explained this before. And when I've mentioned poker chips, we had the old red, white, and blue plastic bicycle chips as the chips we were using at this time. And we had like three large paper sacks full of these. And so that's what we used as poker chips. But what it is that we would give $25 into the pot. Everybody paid $25 to play in the World Series Poker. You were given an unlimited number of chips for the weekend, which means you started out with, I'm going to say, $10,000. And it might not be that much. I don't remember if it's $10,000 that we start out, or we say it's $10,000. It's not really $10,000. It's play money as we go. But like I said, you get an unlimited number of chips. So it doesn't matter how much you lose, you're only going to lose $25, but you can play the entire weekend without ever having to buy more chips. So we do that. Now, with that said, I brought up the game 727, which means that pretty much nobody's trying to cheat anybody in any of these games. There's no reason to cheat anybody in these games. It's really not worth it to cheat anybody in these games. So, and I know this is also the year that I think Dwin might have set the record for the most money lost in the weekend. All right. So, and by dumping, I mean that he just, he was trying to see how much money he could actually lose. I mean, he wasn't cheating. He wasn't throwing money at anybody in particular. He was just, I think he was trying to lose to see how much money he could lose. I'm not going to say for sure that that's what he did, but it's what the feeling was, I guess. All right, with that, I'm going to go into this game called 727. It's kind of like blackjack. I don't want to get too technical on it, but what it is that face cards are, all cards are their number value. Face cards, the king, queen, and jack are only half a point, and aces can be 1 or 11. And you can win the whole pot if you have 7 and 27. Usually it's a split pot where you get 7 or 27 and you split the pot. And the way that it works is that if you're going low, you have the person closest to 7 without going over wins. The person closest to 27 and is over. So if you're at 6.5 and someone's at 7.5, 6.5 wins because you're only a half away under. If you're over, it's 27.5 and 28.5, or I mean 26.5 and 27.5, 27.5 wins. Just real quick, that's all it is. Well, I guess one time Rodney went low and assumed that you being a half over got you the win, and the next time he thought he did it, he went high and was a half under, and he lost, and he just, for some reason, thought we were cheating, so he got upset, and I guess he left that year. He left early that year. I don't know. That's all I know for sure, is that I know that he got upset at the game. Anyways, so that. And I know we played fairly well this year, and it lasted. I mean, the games were good. Now, that was pretty much the biggest drama for the poker game that year. I also believe this is the year that we were introduced to the game called Kings and Little Ones. I'm not sure of that. It may be the next year. And again, I don't know what we're going to get into too much of the games trying to explain it. Kings and Little Ones was a five-card draw game in which kings are wild and the smallest card in your hand is wild. And I'm probably trying to get too much into games. So that was that year in the symposium. And Ed Kuligowski won year five. So we have, now I could be wrong, Kings and Little Ones may not have come in until the following year. So, and again, just to let you know, restate again, year one was tricky, get over it. Year two was Aaron, year three was Adam, year four is Mark, and year five was Ed Kuligowski. So that will be what year five was. Again, oh, I forgot to mention this. And well, we had a screen door this year, but apparently none of us know how to shut a screen door. So at one point during the symposium, we had to evacuate the house because there were so many flies that we bug bombed the house. So we had a screen door, but apparently we don't know how to close it, so we had to bug bomb the house. So that brings year five to a close. All right, here's the beer prayer. Our lager, which art in barrels, hallowed be thy drink. Thy will be drunk, at home as in the tavern. Give us this day our foamy head, and forgive us our spillage, and we forgive those who spill against us. And lead us not into incarceration, but deliver us from hangovers. For thine is the beer, the bitter, and the lager, barmen. Alright, here's some funny quotes just about beer and drinking. Not all chemicals are bad. Without chemicals such as hydrogen and oxygen, for example, there would be no way to make water, a vital ingredient in beer. That was Dave Barry. People who drink light beer don't like the taste of beer. They just like to pee a lot. That was a Capital Brewing Middle in Wisconsin. Here we go. I would kill everyone in this room for a drop of sweet beer, Homer Simpson. If you ever reach total enlightenment while drinking beer, I bet it makes beer shoot out your nose. Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy. All right, in the line of jokes like the Chuck Norris jokes, this week I did a few of these the 1 year at the symposium, so I'm going to read a couple of these here. These are Liam Neeson's cock jokes as opposed to the Chuck Norris jokes, so Liam Neeson's cock is so big it proudly admits to liking Mallrats, Cop Out, and Jersey Girl. Liam Neeson's cock is so big that the reservoir tip on his condoms are 50-gallon barrels. Liam Neeson's cock is so big, ain't nothing gonna break its stride, nobody's gonna slow it down, oh no, it's got to keep on moving. Liam Neeson's cock is so big, you had to sell your last cow for 5 beans to climb to the top and steal his golden balls. Liam Neeson's cock is so big, Michael Jordan wants to be like it. Liam Neeson's cock is so big, it would take a team of Oompa Loompas working night and day for 3 weeks, applying 155-gallon barrels of lube just to cover the head. Liam Neeson's cock is so big that it starts off as 68 and takes over 2 weeks to get all the way to the final four. That's about all I'm going to do for those. I was just going to throw a few of those in there along the lines of, like I said, the Chuck Norris jokes. All right, so I'm going to pretty much try to end this podcast here. All right, as I bring this podcast to a close for year 5, I want to tell one little quick story, and it involves Dwyn and Tony's future wife at this point, Heather. The reason I want to tell this story is because it's something that we kind of make fun of, or at least I make fun of it. If anybody who knows Dwyn knows that Dwyn is very loud, and he doesn't have to be drinking, and this isn't a tricky, loud, and drunk, and obnoxious. This is Dwyn who is just loud and talks a lot. And at some point, I would really like to get Dwyn on here and let him talk. But as of right now, anyways, the story is that if you know Dwyn, Dwyn is very hard to embarrass or to get to not talk. So this story takes place somewhere between now, year 5 and year 6, or it took place at the beginning of year 5. When Dwyn met Heather, she actually told Dwyn a story that not only made him stop talking, it made him blush. And that's I find that it's kind of funny, so I just kind of make fun of Dwyn for that. So I say Heather's the only person that's ever gotten Dwyn to blush and be speechless. So with that, I'm going to bring this pretty much to a close. So next week will be year 6, and I kind of have a special episode planned for year 6. With that, I leave you with the CCMP motto. If you're a man, you'll understand. Good night, everybody.